With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to RHAP's coverage of Australian Survivor. I'm your host, Shannon Gates, here with a very, very important deep dive. We are going to get someone's perspective on the game that I think is quite significant. So please welcome your new queen, winner, and true champion of Australian Survivor, the great Pia Miranda. Pia, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
No, of course, we have to have you.
You're a good introduction.
you're a super fan of the game, who wins the game. We always love to see that. And you had such, I think, considered strategy that we got to see throughout. So to kind of get into the background of that, I think, will be amazing.
Oh, awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Especially going back to the early bits, because, you know, everyone, when you do interviews or podcasts, you generally speak about the later part of the game. It'll be fun to talk about the early part of the game.
Yeah, when you have 15 minutes with people. I mean, like, I think, like, a lot of the interviews I see just in general Australian public are very much like, do you really not go, like, use a toilet? Like, that's what the question is.
How do you brush your teeth?
We won't be asking that, I can assure you. this is for, like, the real super fans. So everyone knows that you're really surviving out there. We want to get into, like, the proper strategy of your game. But I did want to ask before that. So you've said you're a huge fan of the show. Can you tell us a little bit about your fandom with Survivor?
Well, it just started with season one, like the very first season. And I was living in Sydney and I had my best friend and his boyfriend and my husband and I. We just used to have Survivor parties every time it was on. And then it just connected with me. Like, we all loved it. But for some reason, I would sit there and I'd want to talk about strategy. And I'd start saying, no, they should have done this. They should have done that. And I really just really early on wanted to play, which is so not like my personality because I'm very private and I don't like attention. But I was like, I'll do anything to get on this show. And I tried to get on the American one, but of course you had to be an American citizen. So then my fandom just turned to me sitting on the couch and sort of, you know, obsessing that way until it came my way, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, and then obviously it came back a few years ago. Did you think before there was like a champion and celebrity aspect to it? Because obviously if you're going out there with regular people, it might be really different. But did you think about going on an earlier season then?
I sort of did actually, but I was having babies at the time, you know, that sort of thing. So I had little kids, so it just wasn't really a possibility. And, you know, I think especially when I got asked to do this one, I'd just been finished watching Mike White on the American one. And I just thought, God, there's so many of us that want to play. Like, it really transcends who you are, where you are in life, you know, everything, gender, sexuality, like all this stuff, it transcends. Like, why not jump in and be a part of it?
Yeah. So obviously being a huge fan of the game and being approached to be part of it, what was your reaction to that?
My reaction was like, no, I didn't really mean it. No, I can't, you know, like, you know, you've been dreaming about something for so long and then people come and ask you to do it and you're like, oh God, and I can't say no because this is my dream, but I'm not up for it. So, you know, it took me about, just mostly because I have young kids, it took me about 4 weeks to really get my head around it. But, you know, my husband knows how much I love it and he was so supportive and he just kept saying to me, how can you say no? Like, this is once in a lifetime. Go, I'll hold the fort. You'll be okay.
Yeah, probably. But like, as a fantasy to be like, I would always totally do that show based on the reality of like, but will you actually do it now? It's quite a big jump.
Totally. Because you know how, when you've watched it a lot, you know how hard it is. And so I knew it wasn't going to be easy, and I just thought, oh God, I'm really signing up for this. But I just couldn't get it out of my head. You know, my first reaction was to go, no, I can't do this. And then I couldn't get it out of my head. And then I kept going back to the producers, asking them more questions and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So really, I think from the moment they asked me, I knew it was going to happen.
Yeah. And how did you prepare for it then going in?
I prepared by, you know, I do a lot of yoga anyway, which I knew was going to definitely help me in the latter part of the game if I could get there. So I knew that I'd be quite good at those endurance challenges. Then I started swimming quite a lot. And then I did a lot of running. And then my husband built me a fire making challenge in the backyard, and I smashed out fire. I mean, I never let anyone know. I think Harry found out, which was a bit scary near the end, but I was good at making fire. I sat there, I got the flint, I got everything. I had a big tub of, you know, rabbit feed and all sorts of things. And I just made fire like every day, just sat in the backyard and made a fire. And the challenge he made me, my husband Luke got me a block of cement, and then he put these bars on the side, and then we strung a little string across. Mm. So it was like a good old fashioned challenge, like the one that we just saw in on Island of the Idols. So a really good challenge. And every day I just try and do it until I could get quicker and quicker at getting rid of the string.
That's
so
amazing.
Yeah, fire was definitely my thing. I was like, I'm not going on to Survivor and not learning how to make fire. I was like, and people, I think, you know, it's funny because I guess I won because I was underestimated. Even as a small woman, like if you went and played, people would just underestimate you with little things like that. Like, oh, well, Pia couldn't make fire, you know, where I was sitting there going, hells yeah, I can.
Yeah, obviously that's going to be a, you know, a possibility later on.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. But I want to get to the island itself. So you get on the beach, you are in a tribe that is a majority of sports people, so that they can have a majority alliance. I know that a lot of those people had even met before. So what was your reaction, I guess, mm-hmm. getting on the island, seeing that dynamic? And also, did you know anyone from the real world?
No. So I got dropped on that island and I honestly just thought, I am screwed. Like, it was like being the new kid at school but not having anything in common with 70% of the people.
But it's like an athletic schoolyard. For like
it was like that. Yeah. And if they didn't know that each other, they knew someone, they knew mutual friends. Mm. And it was really like being an outcast. And so, you know, I gravitated towards Janine, Anastasia. I was talking a lot with Abby. So, you know, I'd sort of seen Abby because we'd traveled together. We're not allowed to talk to each other. So I was trying to sort of make inroads with Abby, Luke, Dave, and then I was really trying to make friends with Nova and Susie because I knew Nova and Susie and I think ET were quite tight outside the game. So I was just trying to get in there, but definitely, you know, like this, it was really hard. I just knew I didn't fit in, and I knew if we lost immunity that I was going to be first on the chopping block.
Yeah. Were there any people that you had particularly, I don't want to say negative relationships, but that you felt like a very chilly reception from?
Probably a little bit from Steve. I definitely, you know, he wasn't really making an effort with me at all. And I just felt like, yeah, a couple of the guys in the sport, in sort of that sporting alliance, really sort of weren't warming to me at all. So, yeah, I sort of gravitated towards the women in that alliance to hoping that, you know, I could make inroads there.
Yeah. What was there like an extreme pressure going into challenges as well, knowing how important it was to these type of people and that you might be underestimated in that regard?
Yeah, I think the hard thing is, like, you know, in the team challenges, I was fine. Like, you know, I'm pretty light and pretty fast, so that was all good. But those reward challenges are where it mm-hmm. definitely stood out that I wasn't great at those ones because they were always wrestling challenges, and that is just not something I can do.
Yeah, there's a lot of brute strength.
Yeah, and so, you know, I do those wrestling challenges. I give it my all, but I couldn't win one. And so I just felt like the minute I sort of lost two, that was going to be make me have a target on my back. What I did do was I tried to match myself always with Sarah, who was really quite big, so that I didn't want to lose against someone small like a Laura. Mm. So when it came, you know, that you would have to match up with someone, if it was Laura, I'd tell someone else to go, because I thought, if I lose against Sarah, I can justify it. But if I lose against Laura, then they're going to say she's really weak and she's got to go home.
Yeah, and there's a strategy to that. Like, maybe if Sarah's going to beat most of the women on your tribe, then it's like, take it as the automatic L and let someone else beat Laura. So I think,
Yeah, I was trying to say that. Like, I'll just, you know, we'll throw this one because no one's going to beat Sarah, that kind of thing, to sort of put myself in a position where it wasn't that obvious that I was terrible at wrestling.
It's okay to be terrible at wrestling. I don't know why this is like such an important skill in Survivor.
I hate it. And people would come for me, you know, they'd run towards me. I just want to like cry. I'm like, it's not my thing.
I don't want to be tackling people. I don't want to be pulling ropes all the time.
No, like throw me on something high or, you know, make me do scary stuff, but please don't make someone come and try and attack me. It's not my vibe.
I totally feel you on that. Well, you get to this first vote, which is a big one. Obviously you're hearing that your name is out there, but you do manage to save yourself. So how did you get through this vote?
Oh gosh. So, you know, the minute we lost immunity, I knew it was coming for me because really no one was talking strategy to me besides maybe Janine and Anastasia a little bit, and possibly Susie. So what happened was we were all standing at the well and I knew it was me. So I was just trying to follow people around, you know, so I wasn't alone. We're all standing at the well and, Nova was standing there and I knew Nova was really tight with Susie. And so Janine brought up Susie's name with a bunch of us around the well and I could see Nova's face turn really dark. So I sort of didn't say much in that conversation. And then after that conversation, I ran down to the beach and I grabbed Nova and Susie and I said, oh, Susie, I've been looking for you everywhere. And I said, Nova, how terrible is it that Susie's name was thrown out there. How awful is it? Because I knew that that whole kind of sporting alliance was actually coming for me. Mm. And I tried to get Nova to trust me because I thought, you know, I just know that those people actually wanted to say my name, but someone just said Susie's name. So I said, you know, it's terrible and I'm on your side and I'm really loyal to you two and what do you want to do? And pretended that I didn't know that they were gunning for me. And then I knew that Anastasia had really annoyed. She'd said something to Nova in the challenge that really annoyed Nova. And so Nova all of a sudden just looked at me and said, what about Anastasia? And my heart was like, yes, thank God, even though I'd had a little bit of an alliance with Anastasia. And because I knew Nova was sort of running the vote for that alliance, that sporting alliance. So Nova went down and changed it to me. And I sort of knew it was going to be okay going into tribal because, like, Dave whispered in my ear, he goes, don't stress, I think it's Anastasia. So as I went into tribal, I felt okay, but I was still pretty worried.
Yeah, and you seem to have, you know, as you said, like a bit of a relationship with Nova, who's important, and Susie as well, to kind of help you out socially as well there.
Yeah, so what I thought was, I knew that, like, Susie had let slip that there was this sporting alliance of seven. So I thought, well, as long as I keep Nova and Susie on side, that might keep the target off my back until I can make another alliance with someone else. Because I sort of knew there were probably four of us that were on the outs and maybe we could flip some people. So, yeah, I definitely was playing two sides. I was cooking with Nova every day. I was helping her around camp. You know, she liked to clean a lot. I mean, I really did not sit down for 2 days just to make sure that Nova was on my side and she thought I was a good asset to have around the tribe.
But the thing that was weird about this vote was that, you know, the two votes you get are from Luke and Janine, who stay in the game. Mm-hmm. And they're obviously going to be two people that you work with for a very long time. So, like, how do you recover from that point in the relationship when they've actually written your name down?
Well, you know, I was so happy when I didn't go home that night. I was just like, thank God, because I'm a massive Survivor fan. Don't be first home, you know. So I was on the high. And Janine and I had gotten along quite well, like Janine and Anastasia and I. And so the next day, Janine was being really weird towards me. And I thought, oh, she's angry at me because I turned on Anastasia. So I went up to Janine. She was walking to the well and I said, hey, what's going on? I feel like you're not vibing with me. And she went, no, I can't look at you. I feel really bad that I voted for you last night. And I went, oh, I don't care. I was like, oh, I don't care. I'm here. And I said, well, maybe like we should hook up. If you didn't know what the vote was, maybe you and I should hook up. And then as we walked to the well, Dave and Luke were there. And so Luke was like, oh my God, I voted for you too. And then I started laughing. I'm like, oh my God, you two are hilarious. And then Dave said, I didn't know the vote had changed until 1 minute before tribal, like a couple of minutes before tribal, when he told me. And we sort of stood around and the four of us looked at each other and we're like, oh, okay, so we're the four on the bottom. And from that point, we made a really strong alliance. Like, it started as the four of us. And then we decided, let's get two people to flip. So the boys said they'd work on Ross and we said we'd work on Abby. And then we could hopefully get a six. But really that alliance of four, which we called the Banana Alliance because we stole bananas off Nova. That was a really strong alliance and that really stayed for a very long time. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I knew that, oh, if you're going to get upset at people for voting out, that's never going to help your game. So just maybe to me that sort of was actually an asset for me to be able to go to two people, I don't care, let's get something going, was actually a good way to do it.
Yeah, that's so fascinating because you and Janine are like one of the strongest duos I've ever seen, and you start off with her, you know, writing your name down. Did you care? And like, I know you're saying to them you don't care. Like, was it really water off a duck's back, or were you a little bit peeved at that?
I think it was water off a duck's back because I was so happy to be there, and I knew that, you know, I'd turned on Anastasia in a heartbeat because I was trying to save myself. So I really got it. First vote, write anyone's name down as long as it's not yours. So yeah, I didn't mind, and I felt like that was kind of a good thing in a way because I used to be able to tease Janine about it all the time. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, oh, I've never written your name down. And she'd be like, stop.
So you consolidate that four. And as you said, you had a lot of work to do in pulling Abby. So what do you feel like you were doing to pull her over to your side?
So the boys really just worked on Ross, and you didn't really see it. For some reason, the edit just sort of showed the boys, but the boys really worked on Ross. And Janine and I really worked on Abby. We'd gotten along with her really well, and we knew that the Sporting Alliance was being a bit full on with her, so kind of telling her what she had to do, who she had to vote for, that she was in this alliance. And she was saying she wasn't feeling comfortable, so we kind of went the other way. We were like, we'd love to have you work with us. We really like you, but do what feels good in your heart. Like, we're not going to pressure you. We're just trying to get an alliance together of people who get along, where we can all decide together who we want to vote for rather than be at the bottom of this dictatorship. And I think that really worked for Abby because she wanted to play her own game, and she didn't really get along with a lot of the people in that alliance.
Yeah, and this is going to be a huge flip. I mean, we've talked about how you did have some working relationship with Susie, who's going to go next, and then Nova. So, like, how was the pecking order decided with this new majority?
So the new majority, really, we really tried to say to everyone, let's all have a open dialogue. So because the other Sporting Alliance really was a dictatorship, like Nova or ET would call out a name and then everyone would have to follow. So we just told them, you know, we'll all get together and we'll all decide who to vote for. And really, I think it was Abby that was pretty keen on voting Susie out, because Susie was not really that confident in challenges. Even though she's a sports person, she's definitely more of a water person. And so in challenges, she struggled a little bit. And so that was sort of a way we just kept putting that in her mind, like, yep, Susie should go. Saying that, Susie had told me that if we lost immunity, the next vote was Janine. And her and Nova came and told me, and they said, it's going to be Janine, but if you tell Janine, we're going to turn it to you. Ooh. So I kind of had to play both sides. They were like, you owe us, and we're going to change it to you if you tell Janine. So I didn't tell Janine it was her name, but I knew Janine would find out anyway. But we were pretty confident that we had the six. So I was still playing with Nova and Susie and them telling me to vote for Janine. But really, there was no way I was going to do that.
Yeah. And you're around after all this for the like week conversation and all of that. So what was your perception of that? Because that was debated a lot on the island.
So I would say that, you know, that was edited down to be a little less than it was.
Less?
I think you're talking about Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say it was it was quite a lot worse in real life than it was shown on screen. And it did go on for a while. So, you know, even I had to step in and say, you got to calm down. It's just a game. Let's not get personal. You know, it got quite nasty. So I think they possibly edited it to make it a little milder. But it was definitely not great. It was not great. But he was apologetic afterwards. But I think he just lost control of his emotions in that moment.
Yeah. And you're a very social player. So for you to have to kind of get involved in what is a confrontation, like how does that sit with your game?
Well, it was weird because that was the day that Luke and I stuffed up the challenge.
Mm.
Like we got tangled in the ropes and then we kind of came back on the beach and we're like, oh God, like we lost the challenge for everyone. And then Luke's like, nah, it'll be fine. But I was still a bit nervous. And then all of a sudden, like, Steve just has this meltdown in the water. And I said to Luke, oh, my God, how lucky are we? Like, everyone's forgotten that we ruined the challenge and everyone's just concentrating on the fact that, you know, Steve has had this meltdown. But at the end of the day, our alliance was strong. I was pretty confident we were going to stick with our numbers. So I didn't feel too bad having to step in with Steve because I thought, well, it's better to step in and prove to Abby that I'm on her side than to sort of take a back seat and not do anything.
Yeah, and then so Steve doesn't actually go home next. It's Nova who you might have annoyed anyway by voting against her, but you have worked with before and you've just argued with Steve. Did you want to vote out Steve then, or were you happy for it to be Nova?
Look, Look, Steve was sort of ferreting around in the bush a little bit, and so we thought, oh, maybe we should flush his idol if he's got one. And then really I was the only one in our alliance who was getting along with Nova, so my job was sort of to actually make her feel good. So I kind of hung out with her a lot that afternoon, reassured her. She did say to me just before tribal, God, there's no way I'd go home, is there? And I had to like lie to her face and say, no, absolutely not, of course not. So that was, you know, that doesn't feel nice when you have to do that stuff, but it is part of the game, so you justify it in that way. So, yeah, look, I think Nova was probably ruffling a lot of feathers. I know especially Ross wasn't getting along with her at all. So they were happy to see her go and then hopefully flush Steve's idol, which he didn't have.
Yeah, you guys kind of pick off some of the athletes here, but even within this, and I don't think it was ever really a realistic, or, you know, it definitely wasn't a realistic thing, but your name is still thrown around as like a physical liability, certainly by the athletes, you know, like ET. So were you very aware of that on the island?
Yeah, I mean, ET and I got along really well as people, but he was gunning for me every single vote. And he would say things to me like, he's a lovely guy, but I think he's just been brought up in that sporting world. And so he would say to me, you know, it's a shame that you can't stay in Survivor because we really need the brute strength. And, you know, Survivor's all about brute strength. And then I'd be like, okay. So he'd like, you know, it's such a shame because you're so lovely, but unfortunately you can't play. And that would kind of get my back up. So then I started gunning for him quite early.
Yeah. Was there a reason Simon is like the one to make it out of that other than just not being Nova, Steve and ET, who it seems like were making pretty aggressive mistakes?
I think just from being a nice guy, like they definitely didn't show a lot of Simon talking.
No.
But, you know, Simon and I got along really well. You know, he missed his kids a lot. I've got young kids. So his social game on that one-on-one level was really stellar. Like he just really connected with people on a personal level, but what didn't probably get involved so much in group chats until a bit later.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's get to the swap because you're swapped to a pretty good position on the new contenders tribe. You've got all, you know, the champion women with you, which is great. And a majority. And you look across and David and Luke, who are two people you'd obviously, you know, been working with. You'd had your issues with David, but like, how did you perceive it at that time for the problems that they were in?
Oh, I mean, even though we sort of saw David turn a little bit, I mean, David, Luke, Janine and I were the first alliance and we were really tight. Like we, you know, even though it's 2 weeks, they're really two intense weeks when you're in that sort of first couple of weeks. So to see them on their own, I felt really sad, but and I just sort of hoped that they lasted because we knew otherwise our numbers would be out of whack. But then for me, I was so relieved because I looked around and I had, you know, my two best allies, which were Janine and Abby, Ross, who I adored, and Simon, who was, you know, someone who was really trying to work with us. So it was a pretty good feeling. I think that's the thing about Survivor, like you can get lucky or unlucky. Like maybe if I'd gone to the Champs tribe with Luke or David, I might not have survived.
Well, I mean, like David, because we even saw in the pre-swap, it was that early that it was like talking about David and the way that he spoke to you and kind of getting your back up. And then obviously you are going to come from at a point. Like at what point were you ever realistically turning on him? Was it ever in this pre-merge?
It was never in the pre-merge. No, it was definitely once we got to to Contenders Tribe and Abby told me that David had thrown my name out when the ET vote was happening. Mm-hmm. And then Abby also told us that Janine had an idol and that I knew about it because Abby didn't know about it. So he was sort of just sowing those seeds of doubt going, hey, Janine's got an idol, P and O's, you're on the outs with those two.
And you did know about her idol?
I did know about her idol, yeah. So, and really then Janine said, well, because Dave told me not to tell anyone, you know, but so it was that sort of thing where we had to build back a bridge with Abby, but also we're looking at her going, okay, hang on, maybe he's trying to tear us apart. So it was then that as soon as she said he threw my name out, I got obsessed with voting him out.
Right.
I just got obsessed with that. I'm like, if I get to merge, like, oh, he's got to go.
Right. You also have Casey in that challenge where you're all standing on the beam saying, like, you know, that he had played an idol on you. Like, that must have been a confusing conversation to have.
Yeah. I mean, that was the other one. So Casey tells me that, you know, David said he played an idol for me. And that was we lost that challenge and that was on a tribal night. So one thing I knew was like, don't ever start stuff on a tribal night. So I just kept it in my back pocket. And then it was the next day after we survived a tribal that I told Janine and Janine's like, oh, he's saying all kinds of crazy stuff everywhere. But I thought, I'm just going to see what I'm going to do with it. But one of my strategies in Survivor was not to talk too much, like that kind of thing. Like if you have information, just say it when you need to say it. Sort of don't go around going, why did you say this, Dave? You know, all that stuff. It's just not going to work for you.
Mm.
So I just had it in my back pocket and I thought, okay, well, it's just one more thing that makes me not trust him.
Yeah, and it seems like on the Swap Tribe, the champion women, the Charlie's Angels dynamic really does grow and consolidate. Like, you know, Janina's even said to me in an exit that she could kind of see how Abby seemed like a third wheel. Was it always you and Janine and then Abby, or did you really feel like you were like the three Powerpuff Girls?
I think a little bit we felt like we were the three Powerpuff Girls. But Janine and I were really playing hard at that point and Abby was sort of more nervous to make moves. So a lot of the time it was Janine and I thinking of things and then hopefully trying to get Abby on board to make a move. So, you know, I feel like all of a sudden in that dynamic, Janine and I just kept getting closer and closer. And even though Abs wasn't the third wheel, there was definitely this sort of there was this sort of vibe that Janine and I were spending pretty much all our time together. So, you know, I think but when we were on the Contenders Tribe, you know, we were pretty tight. We weren't going to make a decision without each other.
Yeah, and this almost feels like stupid for me to ask, but we saw so little of Simon. You're swapped 5 to 4, but one of your five is Simon. Was there any concern he would flip considering he had been like well on the bottom of your tribe, or did you all think this was not a possibility?
No, I mean, you know, when Janine and I floated the idea of voting out Simon instead of Harry, we had this thing where we knew Simon and Sean were getting along quite well, and we were really worried that if we went to merge, Simon would hook up with Sean and turn against us. And we just thought, you know what, when we thought we were going to vote out Harry, we thought, you know what, if we split the vote and then we split it with Simon, Simon's going to come to merge and he's going to be angry. So maybe it's better to take a happy Harry to merge rather than an angry Simon who can hook up with Sean.
I guess it's just so hard as a viewer because I can't imagine angry Simon or like any Simon because we got so little of him, which is to the show's detriment that they would not tell us about that person's strategies.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, Simon was a player and he was ready to make big moves and I could see it in his eyes and he and I would spend a lot of time talking one-on-one. So we were very close and I was working on him, but I thought you could just tell that he didn't trust us. You know, he'd say a couple of things to Sean when Sean was there, like, well, I'm on the bottom of this tribe. Maybe when we go across, we can do this or that. So there was definitely rumblings of something there.
So speaking of Sean, you know, you spoke a little bit in the exit interview about how, like, you definitely played a part in the plan to tell Sean about the fake idol without actually being there so that it wouldn't come back on you. So what was your strategy with that?
So Janine had the idea to tell Sean about the fake idol because we were worried that at merge, Sean and Dave would hook up because they were getting along really well. So Janine said, I'm going to tell Sean about the fake idol. Abs and I thought that was an amazing idea. We were like, let's go down the beach and tell Sean about the fake idol. But then I was like, I'd been working so hard on Dave when I saw him in challenges, like, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm still with you. All that sort of stuff, like on Dave and Luke. You know, we threw a challenge for you, all that kind of thing. So I thought, I do not want Sean to go and tell Dave that I was part of this conversation about the fake idol because I don't want him to target me. If we go to merge. So basically when we went to tell him about the fake idol, I pretended to go to the toilet and then I moved off and I just disappeared for like 10, 15 minutes. And then I kind of like kept an eye on them when it looked like the conversation was wrapping up. And then I jumped down into the conversation. I'm like, hey, how are you guys going? Did you have a chat? And he was like, yay, we did. And then later when I asked Sean, I said, you know, when you talked to Dave about the girl spilling about the idol, did you mention my name? This came up in tribal. I said, did you mention my name or did you say it was Abby and Janine? And he was like, no, I said it was Abby and Janine. And I went, well, that was my plan.
Oh my God, the strategic bathroom breaks, I think, is something people aren't using enough.
Yeah, exactly.
So this next tribal council, the first you're going to go to in the Swap Tribe, actually ends up not being a tribal council. Did you ever at any point think this was not going to be a vote? As a fan, knowing the other tribe were coming, which is often like a bit of a giveaway, were you in that then or was it like too hard in the moment to realize that?
No, I thought maybe it was going to be whoever we voted out, they might have a chance to save. Remember there was like the one?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was might be something like that. But then we were so starving. That we were like, maybe they're going to get popcorn and we're going to smell it and that'll be our punishment. Like, you know, you always think there's going to be food everywhere.
They did get popcorn later, so.
Yeah, yeah. So So I knew it was going to be something, but I didn't think it was going to be that.
Yeah, because this vote is pretty complicated, and I want to get your perspective on it. You've got Casey telling you about a possible idol. You've got Harry and his fake kid. And, like, as a mother, I definitely need your perspective on that, what you thought about Oscar and all of that. So, what was happening in this crazy vote?
I mean, there was so much craziness going on. Like, Casey was playing everyone, absolutely everyone.
I have
everyone.
A good grip on Casey still.
Like she would tell Harry stuff, and Harry and I were, and Janine and I were talking. She'd tell Harry stuff, and then she'd come and tell us what Harry said, and then she'd go tell Harry what we said. So we just ended up using her as a mole to give Harry the wrong information.
Yeah.
And then, you have Harry and the fake kid, which was clearly a fake kid. Like, we were all laughing about it. Because you go, what does Oscar like to eat, Harry? And he'd go, plain things. We're like, what? Plain pasta. What does he draw, Harry? Pictures. So, I mean, Sean kind of gave us a hint. He's like, I don't know if that kid's real. So we just kept asking him question after question. I think he got exhausted, which is why he spilled. He's like, I can't do this anymore.
It's not worth it.
So, yeah. So, Sean was really the one that Janine, Abby and I were really trying to bring in. So it was a bummer that he left. It really was.
Yeah, I mean, so what was your plan going into that vote? Harry obviously has an idol. Were you planning on putting votes on him, or was it going to be Casey?
I think we're going to do a split. We're going to split the vote, hopefully get rid of Harry, but actually, no, I think, yeah, hopefully get rid of Harry, but using Casey as a backup.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the way that the champions split the vote. I don't know if this is like a nerdy thing that I really liked. I don't know if it was even like that considered from you guys, but I noticed that in a couple of votes, like the Sean vote, for example, like there was very rarely wasted votes. You guys would just put like the right amount on someone and then a possible split, even if you didn't have the numbers on someone else. And like if the contenders joined you, then you've just split the vote. And they often did. And I was like, I've not really seen this be done before. And I feel like it's a really economical way of splitting the vote. And that is something that enthuses me on Survivor.
Yeah. I think having Janine, who really thinks about numbers. So Janine's sort of a numbers woman. She would really think about that sort of stuff. We all sort of jumped on board with that. We just all, it was Dave and me and Luke, Janine, or, Abby, Janine and I, we'd sit around and we just think of all the possibilities of numbers. You put your fingers in the sand, put little dots, this is what could happen here, this is what could happen there if these people go across here. And then you just work it out mathematically and then just make sure you are safe.
Yeah, the math of your split votes really were so perfect. I don't know if anyone else cares about this stuff, but it's the kind of stuff I really like.
You got it. We used to sit in the sand with our little fingers making dots and okay, this is another way it could go. So, yeah, thank you for appreciating it because it was exhausting because I'm not good at maths.
Okay, well, no, I really do appreciate it. The split vote math is the only math that I enjoy, so I really do appreciate that.
Same here.
And the champions get to this point where you feel like you have to throw some challenges, and it's a weird one because Dave's, in a pretty bad position, and Luke with that, because Sean has been stolen, which you couldn't have foreseen, but you also did turn Sean against Dave. So, how did these two things correlate where you're putting, people on Dave to try and get him out at a point, but also now having to throw challenges to save Dave and mostly Luke?
Isn't that weird? Because we knew we wanted Dave out, but we also
knew that not that soon.
Yeah, we knew that we needed his number for a merge, so it was that really weird thing. And Dave and Luke, Dave had been telling me in the chat, when you meet up at challenges, you sort of give each other sign language, and it's a way of letting the other person know you're still on their side. Are you okay? Because you're really thinking about merge the whole time. So Dave was giving me the cutthroat sign, he's going to go. And so we whispered to him, he asked us what are you going to, can you help me? So we whispered to him, we'll throw the next challenge. So we thought that's a really good way to keep him on our side. Because we could see he was so embedded in that contenders tribe and it was scary. So we thought if we throw a challenge for him, he's going to be indebted to us.
Mm.
So that's what we did.
Yeah. Was that a difficult thing to convince Simon, Abby, two athletes to do that, or were they kind of on board?
I think it was harder to convince Simon, but everyone was pretty much on board because we just knew it had to be done because it just didn't make sense to go there, so outnumbered because we knew if Dave went, then Luke would go, and then we were really stuffed. So it was okay. I mean, yeah, I think it was not that easy for them mentally, but once they got their head around it, we knew we had to do it.
Yeah, and then getting to this vote where Casey goes home, I feel like there was a little bit of lying to the audience because we heard a lot from Janine, especially we're not splitting the vote, we're not splitting the vote, we're going to tribal council and we're still not splitting the vote, and then you split the vote. So what happened here that we didn't see?
Yeah, I think I remember that being a really weird one. So what we did was, you know, when we would, we promised each other, we knew we had, that Harry probably had an idol. And so, you know, Casey was like, he's got an idol. And we said, we just pretend we don't believe it. We just pretend we don't believe he has an idol. But of course we know he has an idol, where I think they played it in the show, like we didn't think he had an idol.
Yeah.
So we knew he had an idol, but that was the only way to get Casey to vote for him. So we said, don't worry, he's not got an idol, you know, and then we'll split the vote with Matt or whatever. So, yeah, so we just knew that we really wanted to flush Harry's idol and then for Casey to go home.
Yeah. And then so the next challenge, you're on the puzzle, you know, the immunity challenge with Harry, and it doesn't seem like you are throwing the challenge. So was that plan off? And if so, why?
Oh, my gosh. Do you know, it's so embarrassing. Like even afterwards, Harry went, did you throw that puzzle? And I was like, no, I was actually really trying. He went, so was I. I don't. That was one of those times because Harry and I are pretty good at puzzles. And that was definitely one of those times where the hunger got to my brain. I was just staring at this puzzle and it wasn't. You're just not clear in your head. And it wasn't making sense to me. And we were trying so hard, Harry and I, but we just couldn't find this one middle piece. You know, sometimes in a puzzle, it's like one piece that will set the whole puzzle up.
Mm-hmm.
And Baden was just a gun. He just smashed through it, even though Andy was trying to throw it. Like, I'm so humiliated that I lost a puzzle when one of the people was trying to throw it on the other tribe.
Yeah. Were there many conversations between the champions of like, well, we threw the last one and we saved Dave and Luke, but we're now prepared to win and send them to tribal?
Yeah, because I think, you know, when we realized that we'd lost Sean, we're like, uh-oh, now we're in a bit of trouble now. So we definitely tried to win the next one at least just so we had an easy vote, hopefully get rid of Harry or Matt, and then we could go to merge.
Right, but if they had lost Dave or Luke, I mean, Luke told me he thinks Andy would have gone, but, like, would that have really hurt your plans then if Dave and Luke had gone on the other side if you'd won the challenge?
Yeah, I think it possibly could have, but I think they sort of let us know that they possibly were okay at that point. So we just thought maybe we'll try and win one, but it was a bit of a, we don't know, like if we lose, we're okay. If we win, we're okay. You know, I think there's that thing where on that contenders tribe, Janine, Abby, myself, Ross and Simon just knew we weren't going home. So either way, we were okay. We were going to work with the result.
Yeah, and I think it's something that I don't understand, that there's not more like long-term challenge throwing. It's like people often throw a challenge but don't follow up with it. But I feel like that must be something that doesn't translate across the screen of like losing, having to go to tribal and just like kind of not wanting to go back again. Like, is there a part of that that exists?
A little bit, because going to tribal is really horrendous. Like, it's a long night. You do still get scared because anything can happen. And so I think we felt like we'd saved them, we'd done them, you know, hopefully bought them a couple of days, but then we had to look after ourselves as well.
Yeah. And then there's going to be another very scary challenge with the poles, and Ross is going to be medevaced. I have to ask, these primo challenges, you're jumping off heights with a blindfold, you're being drowned at a point. This challenge looked terrifying. I know it was just like the rope thing that hurt Ross, but jumping from, you know, pole to pole, what was the scariest of all the pre-merge challenges you did?
Like, honestly, it didn't show it. But you know when we did the Tower of Terror when we had to grab the pegs?
Yes.
It was sort of early on. That was horrific. Like, there are so many challenges where if you have small legs, you're in a lot of trouble. Like, it's a lot of the challenges are really geared towards tall people. And that, having to run, and it's sort of, you can't really see it on TV as much, but you had to like jump so high and so far out to try and get this peg. And I did it 14 times in a row, and slamming into that water like time after time after time, and really thinking that I couldn't do it. Like, my body just, I couldn't get there. It was horrible. And I was in so much pain. I think Nova and I were the last two to get there, and we were just lying at the top of that Tower of Terror going, I want to die. I want to die. So, you know, that one, I think jumping off blindfolded was pretty horrific, and definitely those stepping stones were just so hard for me with my little tiny short legs. I mean, I promised myself that I'd never say I can't, or, you know, do that kind of thing, like I can't do it. So I just picked myself up, do it again. I kept falling off those stepping stones, like bang into the ground. So I think those were the three challenges that I hated. The being drowned ones were fine for me for some reason.
Just kind of lying there.
Yeah, I didn't mind them. I'm like, oh, it's fine. It's relaxing.
Yeah.
Just cold. Yeah.
The stepping stone one was so scary because we knew someone was going to get medevaced, and then you were the last one to do it, and we assumed it would be on the stepping stone thing. So I know that we were like, I was watching that like with my eyes covered, hoping you wouldn't fall to some like really brutal injury. And then Ross goes on the rope swing, which was random. Yeah, how did that affect you strategically and emotionally to lose Ross there?
Losing Ross was really tough for me because I actually saw Ross last night. And I said to him, I said, I struggled after you left, because I think he was up all night building fires. He was definitely the person that I had the most like fun with. Like we'd just sort of be naughty at night and set fire to the camp and, just do nonsense stuff. And so when he left emotionally, I really felt like I had my little naughty playmate had gone and a little bit of the fun and survivor had gone for me as well. And then strategically, he was we'd become really tight. I mean, I really felt like I'd lost a really good ally. I didn't think I felt like he was going to turn on me eventually, especially if the three of us girls stayed together. But I was really having this good one-on-one relationship with him, and I thought that would get me, a little bit further in the game. So I took it quite tough losing Ross.
And as you've explained, you really did want to take Harry to the merge rather than having to put a vote on Simon and have him be mad at the merge. And we saw so much, obviously, of Harry and the godmother and his relationship with Janine. What was your relationship like with Harry throughout this?
My relationship with Harry was pretty good, but the funny thing about Harry is that he sort of would say, I want to play really hard, but then it was really hard to get him to talk strategy. So you'd say, what do you think, Harry? And he'd go, he'd give you sort of nothing. So I really wanted that vote so I could prove to him that we were on his side and then maybe he would work with me a bit more. So then when we went to merge and we hadn't had that vote where we'd saved him and voted out Simon, I felt like our relationship was a little bit in the air. Saying that, once Janine left, Harry and I became so tight and were such good mates that we were like, why weren't we like this the whole time? So, yeah, we definitely came together in the end, but it was a bit murky. Like we sort of really enjoyed each other's company, but I found it really frustrating because I couldn't get him to commit to a conversation.
Yeah. And now a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we are back. All right, Pia, you're going to get to the merge. And there are a lot of new people, actually, that you have to meet here. Daly, John, Bade, and Andy were people you hadn't been on a tribe with. What was it like kind of meeting these new people?
Meeting John was really fun because I sort of met him, earlier on, and I felt like we might get along really well, which we did. Daisy was a harder nut to crack, and I knew that I had to work really hard on her. And then Andy was just running around desperate because he knew he was on the chopping block. So I quite enjoyed Andy because he was really seemed like a lone wolf. And I said to Janine, maybe we could save him and use him at some point. But he was, he was very nervous and sweaty by the time we got there. So he was sort of running around sweating and, it was hard. It was hard to watch. But, I just sort of looked around and I went, okay, the funny thing was once we got back on that beach, that champion crew just got together pretty tightly straight away and it was like nothing had happened.
Yeah, I mean, so you before you do that, you have this challenge, this, strength challenge, and you drop out for a call from home.
Yeah.
And some people say that often that can be a really bad thing because it, lessens these emotions trying to ignore. But what was that like in terms of your game?
I think that rallied my game. I think 29 days without talking to my kids and my husband was super tough because you start thinking the worst. And so all I wanted to say was like, are you guys okay? And I still love you. You know, that's all I needed to say. And the minute I hung up from them, I really had a feeling in my belly like, okay, Pia, you're at Merge. You're going to do whatever it takes to win this. Nothing's going to stand in your way. Do it. And I think without that phone call, I don't know if I would have really had that drive and that just that resolution to go, I'm going to win it and nothing's going to stop me. It just snapped me into gear. For that, it was all about trying to survive till Merge, you know, like just try and survive till Merge. And then, yeah, from that point, that phone call, I just went into, I'm going to take this.
Yeah.
Sort of mode.
Yeah. So you said, like, you know, the champions will kind of get back together, but you're at the 6-6 point. You're going to get rid of Andrew, someone you met like that day or the day before. So what were your kind of opinions on what should be done at that Merge vote?
I mean, I was sort of keen, you know, the minute we got to Merge, I was like, I am not champ strong. Like, definitely Janine and a few of them were really champ strong in their brain. But I looked at my tribe and I went, okay, Abby, threat. Luke, threat. Simon, physical threat. Dave, massive threat. And I went, I'm on this, in this alliance with these huge threats and I've got to start taking them out. So, you know, I really just sort of looked at Andy, who was desperate and on his own, and went, oh, God, maybe we could use him, like Jenny and I were talking about it. But at the end of the day, you just got to prove. I think that first Merge vote is really tough, and I wanted to prove to my champs tribe that I was with them, I would do what they said, and that they could trust me.
Yeah, I definitely think, I mean, you're going to take Dave out pretty soon. So I think that, like, when you get to that first vote, probably best to just kind of assert your dominance as a tribe, and then just kind of the easy vote, and then you make your moves a little later. It's usually the best way to go.
Yeah, I just think that first vote is not a good idea to try any big moves or, you know, just be sensible about it. Got targets not on my back, and then after this vote, my tribe's going to really trust me.
Yeah, and the next vote, you know, Dave wins immunity. Sean's going to end up going home and you guys are at the Rings of Fire without getting really to strategize. If Dave doesn't win immunity there, are you pulling the trigger that early to go for Dave?
I was pretty keen to, but then Janine and I had a chat and she said, you know, maybe we should just get one more number in our favor. We don't want to end up even Steven kind of thing with the contenders. So, yeah, I think it was always the one after that we were possibly going to go for Dave. This one was pretty much if Sean didn't win, I think we just really wanted to get rid of Sean. But then Sean gave that great pitch of the Rings of Fire and then Simon and I are like, oh, God, maybe we should actually take out Luke because he is a bigger threat than Dave and we can get Dave anytime.
Right, so you were really entertaining that. I mean, there's been a lot of talk of, like, how live was that tribal. Was it very live for you? Were you going in possibly voting for Luke and then were kind of swayed to Sean?
I was going in voting for Luke for sure.
Right.
So, yeah. So, you know, I was really trying to work with Jono at that point as well. Like Jono and Simon seemed to be like a really good way for me possibly to start taking out some of my champions. And I just said I wanted to get Jono to trust me. So I went, what are we doing? Are we changing to Luke? Because I'll stick to Luke if you want to do that way. And he went, nah, I think we should just go with the numbers and we'll stick to Sean.
Yeah, so, I mean, Sean is someone that you had, as you said, try to pull in, try to work with a little bit, but obviously a huge physical threat. Was there a chance it was going to be someone like a Daisy or someone that you didn't know as well, or was, like, he just too big of a threat?
I think that sort of idea that he was such a big physical threat, but, I mean, you know, I even said to Sean, I saw him last night too, but I said to him, I said,
Yeah,
we had like a full catch up with everybody. I said to him, I said, I wasn't that into kind of let's just get rid of Sean straight away. Because, I mean, the chance of him immunitying his way to the very end was very unlikely. And I thought maybe take out Daisy to weaken Sean and then Sean's a bit more of a free agent because Sean and Janine and I actually got along really well. But Sean gave this great pitch and I thought about it. Like he was saying, you know, Luke's the biggest threat in the game. Why are you taking me out? Because you can take me out anytime. I'm not as wily as Luke. And he was kind of right. So I think just Janine decided in tribal that the numbers were going to be, we were going to be left quite vulnerable if we went for Luke that early. And so she, you know, because we'd be even contenders, even champions. And so she was just sort of gave this great pitch in tribal and we all changed our vote. Saying that, this is the other reason why I had to get Dave the next vote because in that tribal, Simon looked at me and went, what are we doing? Like, is it Luke? And then Dave just cracked it at me. He was sitting behind me. He's like, what are you doing? Why did Simon say Luke to you? And then I'm yelling at Dave going, don't yell at me. And then he's like, what? And then he started cracking. I thought, he knows I'm turning. He's got to go.
Right. Yeah, because this is going to be you know, a huge part of your game, and yeah. definitely something that you got a lot of credit for in the edit as well. So what yeah. do you feel it was your role in this, you know, from executing it, placating Dave and all of that part to actually making those decisions?
I think my role was making it happen, that vote. I think it was always going to happen, but everyone was gunning for Daisy, that vote. And I said, Luke had come up to me and said, just so you know, like, Dave's been throwing your name around, you know, breaking up the girls. And I just went to Janine and I said, we cannot wait. We have to do it today. So we were maybe going to do it in like one vote or two. And so we said to Abs, he's gunning for us. We've got to get rid of him while he doesn't notice. But yeah. before he's sort of onto it. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, there's so many decisions put into this vote. For example, you bring in all the contenders.
Yeah.
Which I think was, you know, a risk because they could turn against you. They could go back to Dave and Luke and tell them things. Yeah. So you really have to have a lot of trust in that. But I also admire that they could have flipped on you and they didn't. And I feel like yeah. that's a credit to you making those decisions. So was there a lot of debate on your end around who you should be bringing into the plan?
Yeah, like I wasn't super keen on Daisy knowing because I didn't feel like we needed Daisy's number. And I really just thought I knew that John and I and Simon had been working together a bit, and I knew John was like chomping at the bit to get rid of a power player. So I knew that was pretty cruisy. So I sort of told Jono we were pretty solid. I knew he wouldn't turn on us, but Daisy was the one that I wasn't sure if she was going to turn on us or not.
Yeah, so how confident were you going into tribal that this was going to happen?
Going into tribal, I was pretty confident. Like, so Survivor makes you so evil. Like, I love Dave. And we sat, me and Abby and Janine and Luke and Dave sat on the beach. We're like, the vote's easy, it's Daisy, no dramas. And then we sat on the beach with Dave for, I reckon, 2 hours and actually had such a good time with him that I started to go, oh, no, I don't want Dave to go home. But we did that to make him feel super confident, like, just didn't leave his side for the whole afternoon. Then I'd go to, you know, walk off for a minute, just check in with Jono, is everything going sweet? Yep, we're all good. And so that's sort of how we got Dave to feel happy. I knew Dave wasn't going to play his idol. Like, he was just too happy at that point. And then I thought, well, why would the contenders turn? Like, everyone wanted Dave out. And you could tell they were really excited about it. Everyone was sort of, there was a buzz around camp, like, there's this big blindside about to happen and it's all really exciting. And Luke didn't know anything either. So that was definitely my decision to keep Luke out of it because I knew he'd tell Dave and I was right. Like he said, yeah, I would have told Dave for sure.
Yeah. Was there a fear in that? Because then you've got like the four champions, the four contenders and Luke, who could become a swing vote. We see a lot of your work in bringing Luke back and telling him how it was could have been him. But were you scared that then he could flip and kind of ruin your game?
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely the one who was sort of took it on the chin and went, you know, I can get him back. I know I can get him back. It's going to be okay. And so I had this chat to him. I sort of made up this story about how everyone was gunning for him. And then I turned it to Dave, which is not true, to get the heat off his back because I didn't want to lose him. So that you could tell Luke's got very readable eyes. You could tell he didn't quite trust me, but you could tell he was like, okay, I've got to work with these people until I can find something else to do.
Why was it on you to bring him back? Like, did it speak to your relationship in that you were closer with him than others?
Yeah, I think at that point, he and I were really close. He ended up getting, I think as soon as the spa challenge happened, we really were fractured and it wasn't great between us. But up until that point, he and I were super tight. So definitely, you know, we just had a really good relationship. So I knew that, you know, I hadn't lied to him yet. And we'd sort of proven ourselves to him, you know, in throwing challenges and all that kind of stuff. So and he was pretty good about it. He said he'd seen people come back from being left out of votes and get really upset. And he said, that doesn't serve your game well. So I'm just happy to roll with it.
Yeah. Well, something that you and Luke are going to do together is discover Daisy with her idol and all of this, which was a hilarious scene. And then kind of use that to tell the champions about this plan that you have, you know, going against the contenders. Was it always your plan to make it like a public idol?
No, like, I don't know. Like, so Luke and I decided not to tell anyone. It was the funniest day. Like, Daisy had it in her hand, like, wrapped in a T-shirt, but she was holding her hand up. Like, you know when you're shocked and you're like, don't know what to do? She's just holding her hand in the air. And we're just looking at each other like, what is she doing? Like, it was round in the shape of an idol. So then Luke's like, we had this chat to Daisy and Luke's like, let's just hold on to it, not use it. But Daisy got pretty jittery. And then I didn't tell, I think it was the next day that Luke told everyone. So I didn't even tell Janine. Like, that was definitely one of my strategies, is to always keep my mouth shut. And even when I was so tight to Janine, with Janine, I used to say to her, sometimes I'm not going to tell you things. And she just didn't care. That's why she was so much fun to play with. Mm. She sort of let me run my own game and never take any of it personally, because she knew that, you know, I was never going to work against her, but sometimes I had to do my own thing. So I thought, like, Luke and I and Daisy were going to keep it quiet. But then, yeah, Luke spilled it. And then I was like, okay, well, I'll just go along with the champs for this vote then.
Yeah, because it really seems to be your plan to put the votes on John, because it's like, you know, Daisy and Harry, you know, they might be more obvious. And you're also trying, it seems, like all of you are trying to get Daisy to play it on herself. So what was your strategy in doing all of that?
Yeah, I mean, we were all having this chat and they were going between Harry and Daisy. And then it was weird that afternoon I just started thinking about what a threat John was, because he was starting to sort of talk about making big moves and he was a really good player and really well liked. So I think it just made sense to me to just go, why don't we go John, and then we can get rid of a, you know, a threat as opposed to Daisy, who's not a huge threat. But maybe sort of just maybe not talk to Daisy that much that afternoon and make her feel nervous, and then she'll play her idol.
Yeah, and then after that vote, which was done really well, John was, I think, a really good option, and Daisy does play the idol on herself.
Yeah, although, you know what, like, I think that was after Abby won the car, and when Abby won the car, I looked at Janine on that bench and was like, we've got to get rid of Abby, and she was like, what? And that vote, Baden had come up to me and said, we're all voting for Abby, I feel really bad, you know, Daisy's going to use her idol, because Baden used to tell everyone everything, so... Mm-hmm. I was like really, really close to doing just an Abby vote just to get rid of Abby and not tell anyone and never admit to it. Or I thought maybe I could, I was like, just at tribal, I was like, should I tell Daisy to play it for Jono and then save Jono? Like, it was just that thing in my head, but I hadn't thought about it well enough, and I didn't feel confident that it was. I felt like maybe I was just trying to make the move to get rid of someone rather than making the right move for my game long term.
Mm. Yeah, it's a tricky time because, as we said, like, it's very, very close numbers between the champions and the contenders, and later there's going to be, like, a mass flip through a lot of the champions, but at that point, like, Daisy's gone and there's, like, not a lot of contenders, so it feels better.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, you do vote out John, and then this reward happens. The Spire Award, we spoke about it a bit on the X-Men interview and how this was like, you know, you get chosen to go. You're not making the choice, but you do leave the four swing votes who end up being the majority back at camp. And, like, I'm sure that the Spire was super nice. But, you know, looking back at that as something that everyone's saying, you know, the day that everything changed, like, was there, you were chosen for the reward, you're going to go to the Spire, but was there anything you could have done to protect against this four coming together against your side?
I'm so stupid. I should have given the Spire to Abby. So I should have just given it up and sent Abby there, because I knew that Janine and I were so tight, we should never be together. We should always be separated. And we'd always said that. But I'd been like the longest without a reward. I think I'd been like 25 days with just rice and beans. And so Janine picked me because we came second, and I was so excited, like, oh my God, so happy. And then as I turned around and looked who was left, and they were like, okay, you guys go back to camp, I was like, I've stuffed up. I should have given it to Abby. So yeah, I should have done that, like, as a nice gesture, because being on the beach with Harry, Baden and Luke would have been awesome.
But so much happens at the Spire Award. I mean, you've got Simon throwing out Luke's name, and obviously Luke is someone you had, like, thought about taking out, and, you know, there's all these flips happening, and you find out that Luke is not happy because he thinks that one of the champions has gone back to tell – this is such a confusing part, but he thinks one of the champions has gone back and told Daisy that he told everyone about the idol. So where do you sit in all this? Are you – is it making you want to flip because it's all so volatile, or are you like, okay, now I need to, like, go and fix this and go back to champion strong?
So I really wanted to flip anyway. Like, I definitely was trying to get Luke out, but also it made sense to me because Luke was definitely starting around that 8. He was starting to get really paranoid. Like, really, you know, if anyone sat on the beach and had a chat, he would run up to you, go, what are you talking about? And sort of start, you know, just sort of running around camp a lot and talking about how, you know, he'd been turned on last time around this time of the game. So I definitely think that made him paranoid. And I knew that if he was upset at me, I thought, my God, he's back at camp and he's clearly going to be targeting me. I've got to fix it, but also try and get him out at the same time. So I did not have a good sleep that night. It was really annoying because it was my first night in a bed in like so long. And I was just thinking, I think Luke's coming for me.
Mm. Well, what are those conversations like when you do get back to camp and are able to speak to those people?
Well, Simon was really adamant about being in the conversation. So
I noticed he was always there.
Yeah.
Unless they added him out.
Yeah, well, I think what he was doing was exaggerating how bad it was, because he told me like Luke was screaming and yelling and saying I was a snake and all this stuff. So I just ran straight up to Luke. I thought, first of all, let's just get my name off the chopping block, you know what I mean? Like, let's save myself. So I went up to Luke and I said, I can't believe it's happened. You know, it would not be me. And I made Daisy tell him that it wasn't me. So I said, Daisy, tell him. She was in the conversation. And he was just sort of going, no, it's all fine, it's all fine, it's all fine. And I knew from this point it was not good between us. So we really tried to get Abby to flip with us and vote him out, but she just wouldn't do it. And Janine thought it was okay. She's like, well, it's the numbers. But Simon and I sat in that shelter and we went, we are screwed and this is not good. Like, it's bad. And I did not want to get rid of Daisy. Like, I did not, because Daisy and I at that point were pretty okay. So I was just looking at it thinking, I think those are a four and I think they're going to pick us off one by one. Which Baden told us at the next vote anyway. He's like, well, everyone wants to pick off the spa people. Yeah. We're going to pick you off one by one. I'm like, oh, God, we're all right. Yeah, so it was bad. I mean, I think Abby and Luke definitely had the most readable faces. And so if Luke was not into you, it was so obvious and it was really stressful because he can really persuade people. And so I just was really scared that night. And when I came back from the spa, Harry looked at me and went, Daisy, we're all voting out Daisy. And Harry would never, like when he was at the challenge, and Harry would never usually kind of talk to me at a challenge about who we're going to vote out. And I thought, this is really unusual and I'm feeling really stressed.
Yeah. Like from what I've heard from other exits, he was probably pretty hyped about it because they like had this plan to take out Daisy and then flip with the next vote. So yeah.
And we just did everything we could to get Abby to come with us and she wouldn't. And, you know, Janine really trusted Abby, whereas, you know, I sort of was not in that frame of mind as much. And I just, if you don't have the numbers, it's terrible. This is why it is good to have shields around you, because if you don't have the numbers, sometimes there is nothing you can do. Like, you can't change people's minds. And it's so frustrating because you know you're on the bottom and you're like, what am I going to do?
Yeah. Before trying to change her mind and other than, you know, giving her your spa reward, do you think there was anything you could have done earlier to kind of consolidate Abby with you other than, you know, at this point she's effectively flipped. She's going to vote out Daisy, but she's planning on flipping next time. So is there a way you could have prevented that?
Yeah, I think what I should have done is actually taken her out because Janine and I had these conversations. Janine was really committed to the three of us going to final three and I wasn't, which she was fine with. We were like, no, it's all good that we have a different final three. Whereas I was more keen on taking Simon because I just didn't feel like he was playing hard enough. Mm-hmm. And so what I should have done is, you know, when you think about something and then you sort of think about making moves and you put those feelers out there, like maybe we should get rid of Abby. I think people can sense it. And so she clearly could sense that I was not as committed and I should have taken her out rather than sort of, you know, sort of holding onto this idea that three of us were going to stay strong. Because I think you can't pull away from someone mentally and not have them notice. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, it's kind of like a half measure where you're thinking about it and she's probably picking up on that different dynamic, but you didn't actually take her out. So she's still there, able to turn against you, but it's not the positive relationship it once was in the same capacity.
Yeah, just she could sense it. And I knew that. I think sometimes because Janine and I were so tight, we did all our votes together. Sometimes if we didn't agree on a vote, I possibly should have just gone to, I mean, it worked out for me in the end, but, you know, I was thinking about, should I go to Jono and Simon and try and get Abs out, which is probably a better move in the sense that, you know, Abby wouldn't have flipped on us because she'd be gone. Yeah.
Well, getting to this Daisy Tribal Council, you find out it's going to be Exile Island. So what was your reaction to finding out about that twist?
Well, you know, I was happy it wasn't me. I think I had immunity, though.
We'll talk about the immunity as well.
That was the next one.
Yeah, the
one,
next but, one was the immunity, yeah.
Yeah, but I was happy it wasn't me. But the thing was, it was really, really bad weather. And I'm a mum and, you know, Daisy and I had bonded because we went to the same school. And Yeah, like the same sister school that she went to the Brisbane one, I went to the Melbourne one, and we kind of bonded over that. It was really, you know, so I'd become quite not motherly towards her, like, you know, just more like a big sister. And the thought of her going to exile in that weather, I that's really, I struggled with it, like mentally. I just thought, I can't believe I'm sending this poor young girl out there in this weather.
Yeah.
And I was really stressed all night just thinking about her.
Oh, shame. That is really sad.
Yeah.
Exile Island.
Yeah.
As you said on the show, you're like, I'd rather give birth again than go to Exile Island. So
totally.
I have to take your word for it that's a pretty big call.
Oh, yeah, it was bad. But the weather was bad. Like, it wasn't just, oh, it's a bit of rain. It was, like, cyclonically horrific.
No.
Yeah, none of us slept. And all I could think was, I would just sent this poor girl out to be on her own in the middle of nowhere, and I felt really crappy about it.
Yeah. So, well, we're going to get to this next vote, the mass flip. We didn't see it, but Simon's going to flip. We really didn't even see that on the show. Abby flips, Luke flips, and you and Janina left out voting for Baden. But before that happened, some positivity
in
that you win immunity. So that's a good thing.
I know. Even though everyone was like all up in arms about it, I won immunity. Like, the funny thing was the boys, so what happened was, the boys and I were up there, and I said to Luke, Luke and I had gotten into this groove where we could kind of really work out how to stay up there and take the pressure on off our arm. And Simon was struggling, and Luke knew that he wanted to get Simon out that night. So I was like, I'm going to stay up here all day because I want to win immunity. And Luke was like, I cannot be bothered doing this. I know I'm not going home. So they had we had a little three-way bet where I was sort of asking them, like, come on, don't drop out. Like, let me win at fair and square. But, we had a three-way thing where the boys decided to drop at the same time, and we all promised not to vote each other out. We're like, we promise none of us will vote each other out, which Luke backtracked on anyway and voted Simon out. So he really just wanted to make sure Simon didn't win, and then, you know, he was happy.
Yeah. And I'm sorry that, you know, people made a huge thing about it. Like, I mean, it's kind of irrelevant in that, you know, it was between you and Luke. Neither of you are going home.
Yeah.
And Luke was never fighting. Like, Luke's not on social media. Like, that was my, you know, he made his choice, and he was happy with it too. So I hope that didn't, like, take away from what is a cool thing to win immunity.
No, because I think we were trying to break it down, and we're like, oh, remember when he did some kind of double drop to, like, trick Simon or what it was? But you can't tell
the edit. I think he said that he, like, waited a little bit just to make sure Simon dropped before he dropped. Yeah. So that was what he was doing.
Yeah, he did this fake weird drop or something, and I think I must have, you know, whatever it was. But you can't, like all that stuff, you're like, there are so many people watching those challenges. Like, if you got away with doing something dodgy in a challenge, good luck. Like, it's the greatest survival move ever. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's not really possible with everyone staring at you and kind of looking at you. But, you know, whatever. I won it. I was going to stay up there all day.
So,
and I think sometimes in editing, things are weird. But it was definitely a good day for me. Like, everyone was so excited for me. So it was really brilliant. But, yeah, they keep a really strict eye on you on those challenges because I have a challenge team watching you the whole time. So if people, you know, stray outside the rules, which can happen in really long challenges, they'll call people, you know, be like, watch your arm, watch this, watch that. So they're keeping a close eye on you. So people saying things are rigged and stuff, that's just never going to be the case.
Yeah. Yeah. People who say it's rigged, it's like, how are you watching the show? Like, that's like sounds like a really dodgy show that you're watching. Like, if you think that, it doesn't sound like you're enjoying the show.
I know, and it's a discredit to the people who work hard. Like, this challenge team work really hard. They keep a really strict eye on you. Like, they're really serious about it. So, you know, I feel sad for them sometimes, and people are like, it was rigged, but sometimes it just doesn't come across as it should. But, no, I was super thrilled, and everyone was thrilled for me, and it was great. Like, I just, when I got in that challenge, I was like, I could do this all day. I was so excited. I thought, I'm going to take the time. Yeah.
You seem particularly locked in on that challenge.
Yeah.
But then this vote is going to happen. This vote is an unfortunate thing because from what we now know through all the exit press and everything is that, so you and Janine are voting for Baden, but actually Simon is flipping on you, I guess, against Abby. Abby and Luke are flipping against Simon, and you're left out of all of that. So seeing that happen and coming back to camp, which was not a scene we saw, we go back to, you know, Exile Beach, or we just go to straight to the challenge, I think.
Yeah.
What was your reaction? I think we probably couldn't see it because so much of it came down to Simon flipping, which was cut out of the show. And I really wish we were able to see those conversations.
Yeah, like, I wish they'd shown that Simon, I mean, I said to Simon, though, I was like, he knew I wanted to vote Abs out, so it was weird that he didn't come to me, but I think he was just so concerned with that three-girl thing.
Do you think that he was flipping, on you? Like, because it's so hard, we didn't see the storyline, but he flipped on Abby. Do you feel that he was flipping on the girls?
No, I didn't personally because I was really close with him and he knew I wanted Abby out, but I think maybe he was just being conservative going, I don't know if I can trust her enough to, you know, to go with me. But I definitely think, he could have totally come to me and I would have gone with that vote. For me, It was a really tough vote because, you know, Abby had promised us if we took out Daisy that we could take out Luke at the next vote, and then she wouldn't do that again. And so I started to get a bit nervous. And the reason why we went with Baden was because, well, Baden and Luke were so tight, like they were inseparable. They were probably the tightest too. I thought, well, maybe we can weaken Luke by taking Baden out, but nothing felt quite right. Like, I think Janine was really happy to stay champ strong, whereas all of a sudden I felt like I'd lost my feet and I'd lost my power. And, you know, I went to that spa challenge going, okay, I've had a break. Like, I did the Dave thing, and then I'm like, I'm having a break for one, two mm-hmm. votes, and then we'll do another big vote, you know, so it's just sort of not too obvious you're doing like blindside off of blindside. And then when I came back and I lost my footing and I couldn't make these votes, and it turned from me going, yeah, I'm going to go to this second blindside, to me going, I'm just struggling to survive now. Like, just let me get to the next vote without my name being written down. So I didn't know for sure that Abby was flipping on us, but I knew that something weird was going on.
Yeah, and did you feel, you know, I asked a question about Simon, but did you feel from Abby that she had really flipped on you, or did she come back and really, well, like, explain it, which I don't think was true because they were always planning to flip, but did she come back to say, look, Simon voted for me, that was just preserving myself, but it's not a flip on you?
She told Janine and I that, but I didn't believe it. I just knew she'd flipped on us, and I knew that they were a four and that we were in trouble. Yeah, I knew it. And I know that sounds like, oh, sure, Jan, but I actually, like, I really did know. I just could see it in her eyes. I could tell something was dodgy. And also Baden told me, like, straight after that, he's like, well, you know, he's like sitting there going, well, you know, because I went, well, can we just, I went to Baden and Harry. I'm like, can we just vote for Abby the next vote? And he's like, well, I don't know, because we're going with Abby and Luke, because they just said they wanted to pick off the spa people. And I was like, oh, no. But I think Jay had a lot of faith in Abby. But, I just knew it was bad. But, yeah, thank God for Baden. He just, like, told you everything.
That really could have been like the most expensive spa ever, like $500,000 spa potentially.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to, you know, go to the Exile Challenge. Who did you want to come back? Because you've got Daisy, who you voted out, Simon, who you didn't vote out, but who had turned against you, whereas you've been working with Daisy. Did you have like a horse in that race?
Yeah, I wanted Daisy to come back because mm-hmm. I felt like Daisy knew I was on her side, and I was hoping that we could use Daisy as a number and also maybe bring Harry back into the fold because mm-hmm. Harry and I had been having some chats. He wanted Daisy back as well. Harry and I were sort of the two that wanted to get rid of Luke and Abby. So we thought, well, with Daisy, we can definitely get that done. So even though Simon was a closer ally, I just knew that if he came back in, he'd go straight out again.
Yeah, but Simon, you know, did come back, does go straight out again.
Yeah.
We saw a little bit you trying to flip Harry. Was there ever any real strategic conversations, or was it just definitely going to be Simon again?
Oh, no, we definitely tried to flip Harry, but Janine and I felt so, so on the bottom. So, like, we definitely tried to get, like, Harry and Baden to play with a four, and I'd say to Harry, like, why would you want to play with a power couple when you could play with, like, the two weird old ladies?
Who are a power couple.
Yeah, I didn't want to do that. So we tried, and then, you know, sometimes you just know you've got to cut your losses because you know it's not going your way. So it was a pretty bad time, and, you know, I think some stuff that happened to Simon in that time wasn't great. Like, they put out all those fake idols, and, everyone was sitting in the shelter laughing at him, and it was really sucky. Like, Janine and I was just like, this is horrible, I don't want to watch this. And then I'd sort of whisper to Simon, you know, are you okay, but I can't talk to you because I'm like, they're coming for me, I can't, if I'm seen talking to you, I'm gone. So it was pretty tough.
Yeah, so you have to kind of unanimously vote Simon out there, and you're going to go to the final six, where Luke's going to start winning immunity. And as you've said, you feel very on the bottom. Even though Luke and Abby are kind of pretending to work with you guys, or maybe at times, you know, actually entertaining it, I'm not sure the extent, but they did seem pretty locked in with their four.
Yeah.
And Janine goes here. I have a couple of questions about Janine. So how far, if this doesn't happen, how far are you planning on taking Janine? You know, Simon at this point is gone. You've talked about maybe wanting to be in a final two with him. At this final six now, what are your plans for Janine?
I was pretty happy to take Janine to final four, and then we'd always had a conversation that, you know, from final four we'd reassess. But I did promise her that I'd never pretend to her that I was taking her to, like, to the end and then not tell her if I was going to vote her out. Like, you know, if it was between Janine, Baden and I, and I won immunity, I'd obviously take Baden, but I would, you know, never sort of trick Janine. Like, I was not going to falter on that friendship and on that truth that we created. So, you know, I'd love to take her to the end because I had a pretty good argument in my head about how I could win against her. But at the end of the day, you know, I was sort of open to maybe making another decision, but I definitely wasn't open to lying to her about it.
Right. And we do know that you knew she was going to go. It's, you know, confirmed in your voting confessional.
Yeah, no, it's weird that they pretend. I think they even, like, put some weird subtitle on that I didn't say. Like, it's sort of that I said to her, I didn't know about that or something. But I wouldn't have said that because I knew she was going because Harry came up to me just before tribal and said, we need to have a chat after tribal.
Right.
And I went, oh, my God. And I sat back in the shelter and I went, Jay, it's you. And she's like, no, I think I'm okay. And I was like, no, it's you. And she went, I can't. She went, we're about to go. Like, what can I do about it? So if you see the way they cut Janine, she was looking all grumpy, but she actually wasn't. She was just smiling and holding my hand because she knew she was going. So she took it really well.
Yeah, I think they didn't put the voting confessional on the show. It was just like in the extra scenes. But in the extra scenes, you're like, you vote for Baden and you're like, this isn't happening. which they didn't, you know, and then it comes up, obviously, in Final Tribal Council and the audience has no verification that you actually knew. But that footage exists. It's just on the internet.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, Harry and Abby knew that I knew because Abby was like, let's chat after tribal as well. And I said to Abby, I know what's happening. It's okay, but I can't go with it. And she went, yeah, no worries. So that kind of thing. So I definitely knew and it was sad for me, but I thought, well, at least if two people are coming up wanting to work with me, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, because you are now at this final five without Janine. Mm-hmm. And so we see you approaching Luke a lot at this five, which I thought was really a smart move because everyone's kind of against him, but he holds power in the game, can possibly win immunity. But how much were you working kind of with everyone, with, you know, the Abbeys and Badens and Harrys of the world as well?
So I wasn't working with Abby at all, but I was pretending to. And then so Harry and I, by this point, I think it was weird. Like once Janine left, we sort of came together and Harry and I decided that, well, it's Harry, myself and Baden. We're the three underdogs. We can take the game if we've got majority. So we sat down with Baden in the shelter and we gave them this great pitch. Like we were like, it's the three of us. We've got to get rid of the power couple. Both of them can't win immunity. So we take one, then we take the other. Baden was on board. It was literally like a half hour conversation. I was getting all passionate. And then we're like, great. And then I walked off to get firewood and I came back and Abby said, Baden told me everything.
Oh,
I was like, oh my God, no. Like my face, I was like, what are you talking about, Abby? Like my voice is a little high, you know, like trying to lie, like trying not to go bright red. And then so I walked up to Harry and I went, Baden just told Abby everything. And he went, oh my God, we're stuffed. I don't know what to do. And so I still thought, well, it's cool because, you know, either Abby or Luke can win immunity. They can't both win. And I really thought it makes sense for those guys to want to vote one of them out. I thought I could talk them around. And I also, it was the last time you could use an idol. And I knew that if Luke didn't have an idol, he was always looking for one and he hadn't been looking for one for like a week or so. So I was pretty convinced that he had something. So, you know, possibly I could get him to use it on me because I'd been working on him. I'd just been saying to him, you know, just so you know, Abby's gunning for you, but I'm gunning for Abby. So you can go with her who's gunning for you, or you can go with me who's gunning for Abby.
Right. Yeah. Because you have voted out Dave and then he has voted out your allies and like you've been on opposite sides, but now you're working together in such a tight way that you feel, and I agree, I mean, he tries to save you here, that he would have used an idol for you. So, like, how are you working on that social relationship other than just painting Abby as a threat, but to really get, you know, back into Luke's good graces?
Yeah, I mean, the minute Janine left, because, like, Luke and I really weren't getting along from that spa vote until Janine left.
It was just
really a bloody spa. the stupid spa that almost ruined my game. And then when Janine left, that whole time, you know, I think Luke was a bit paranoid as well because that's when he went the last time and he was sort of, it wasn't good and he was sort of getting a bit upset at times. And then once Janine left, it sort of, I thought, I'm going to work on him again. And we did find that relationship that we found earlier in the game and it was really lovely. So, you know, when he won immunity, I really went to Harry. I was like, right, what are we doing? And then Harry went, nah, Abby's running the game and she wants you out. I went, okay. And then I said, but why on earth, like, would you want to keep Abby instead of me? Like, it doesn't make any sense. And Harry said to me, because we're keeping Abby so she can beat Luke in immunity challenges.
Right.
And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go tell Luke that. Yeah. If he's got an idol, he's going to play it for me.
Yeah.
So I just kept saying to him, you know what? That's the only reason they're keeping her. We've got to get her out. We've got to get her out. And then he's kept saying to me, okay, I've got something. We'll talk in tribal. And then I said, just tell me the name. And he was like, Abby. And I was like, okay. So, yeah.
And so he doesn't have an idol. He has this like advantage where he's sending someone back. And there was a lot of debate online of like what Luke should have done. Should he have sent you back? Objectively as a fan, like what would you, do you like that he kept you there to kind of make the decision? And as a player, would you have rather have been sent back? Because I kind of think that it kind of neutered Baden in front of the jury to kind of send him out of a strategic vote. I think it's better to be in the vote if you're going to survive, but it's also risky because you might be sent to fire or go home.
Yeah, I mean, I think he played that brilliantly. I think that was such a great, just, I mean, as a fan, when I was in it, I was also watching it. You know what I mean? I'm like, this is so cool, Luke. Like, this is so unreal. So when he sent Baden back, I started giggling because I knew I was okay. I didn't know how I was okay, but I just knew I was going to be okay. Yeah. So definitely it was really, I mean, it was just fun. Like that was one of the moments in Survivor where, and I just thought I'm having fun in this tribal and I'm a fangirl, like living my dream. So kudos to Luke because that was such a super cool move.
Yeah. What does he whisper to you that we see, but we don't get to hear?
So he whispered, he said, no matter what Abby says, I'm going to tell her something else. No matter what she says, you just stick with it and you vote for Abby. So I'm going to go whisper to her to vote for Harry, but you just stick with me and you vote for Abby and we're going to get Abby out. And I was like, thank God.
Yeah, what a vote. Amazing to watch. And then you come back to camp here, final four, you know, kind of needing Luke to lose, you would think. Yeah. Surely if he wins immunity, that's not a great situation for you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we'd all had that conversation about how, you know, if Luke wins immunity, what are we going to do? But if Luke loses, he's 100% going home. So we definitely had that conversation, Harry, Baden and I. And then I think if Luke won, I was sort of working on Baden and Luke to get rid of Harry, saying, oh, he's a massive threat. So I was feeling okay, definitely at that time, but you just never know. So, yeah, we sort of, you know, Harry and I were pretty tight. But also after that Abby vote, it was so funny. And then Luke and I just refound that relationship that we'd had early on in the game. And, you know, it's sort of that thing where you've been through so much, so many ups and downs, you've turned on each other and then you come back and you're like, oh, remember we were besties for like, you know, so many days. So it was a kind of a, it was a weird couple of days because he and I had refound each other. Harry and I were really tight and we're really working together strategically. And then I also knew like, well, if Luke loses, he's going home.
Yeah, I actually do think you would have been okay to change my mind of what I said a minute ago, because the optics aren't great. Like, you were just in trouble the vote before, but like Baden does end up, you know, taking you to the final two. So like, would he have voted you out here when Harry is there? Like, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I don't think so. I'd really been working on Baden a lot, like sort of trying to connect with him and telling him how his game and Harry's game were the same, but Harry's was better. Mm-hmm. So I kept going, you know, you've played the same game. You've played a great game, but it's been parallel. So you've got to get rid of Harry. Like, he's too good in the con. Like, Harry's a really good talker too. So I was sort of hoping that, you know, that could work. But then once you lose immunity, sometimes everything changes and then everyone just goes for you and you can't do anything about it. So I was still nervous.
Yeah. I mean, we saw a lot of the emotional reaction. We spoke about it in the exit interview of taking Luke out.
Yeah.
But strategically, did you see any merit to keeping Luke? Because I think a lot of the conversation was like, oh, well, now you have to win to get to the end, which clearly wasn't true. And from my ex interview with Baden, he was planning on taking you, and you did read that correctly and have faith that either you could win or Baden could win.
Yeah.
But did you maybe doubt that and think, well, if I take, you know, if I take out Baden, then at least Luke will take me to the end and I can have my shot in front of the jury?
I mean, the thing was, like, if it was Harry and not Baden, then I definitely would have, like, saved Luke. And when Luke and I were talking on the beach, I was so emotional about the journey we've been on together because he was, like, one of my best friends out there. And then I thought, I was thinking, like, I mean, I was really honest with him. I said, look, I'm not going to just write you off. Like, I promised him I wouldn't just go, Luke's going, you know what I mean? Like, once it came down to he lost immunity, I think the reality of it set in, whereas the day before I was like, well, Luke's going if, you know, he loses immunity. So on the beach I really said, like, I'm really going to consider it. And then I really thought about it. I thought, you know, before we went to tribal, he came up to me and he said, what are your feelings? And I said, probably 70-30, like 70 you're going home, 30 you're going to stay. But I said, I'm going into tribal, like, sort of thinking about maybe I'll keep you. And so I really went into that tribal thinking, I want to keep my friend, and maybe it would be a really cool move in front of the jury as well to like let Luke go to fire. And so, yeah, I went into that. I mean, I always promised myself, don't make an emotional decision. So I was so conflicted. Every 10 seconds, like I had a new thought in my head. I was like, don't make an emotional decision. Like, don't make that Colby Tina mistake. Mm. But I went into trouble. I'm like, I'm just going to go in with an open mind because I might save Luke. I really want to give him a chance. And then he gave this incredible speech and I was like, oh. And then I looked at the jury because I was truthfully upset. I think the reason why people got annoyed at that whole thing with Luke and I is because maybe because like I'm an actor and they thought I was faking it, which is not true. Like, you know, there's yeah. no need.
Anyone who thinks that, okay, they're not even worth the conversation because it was pretty clear, you know.
And like, I'd have to be evil. Like, why would I bung it on? Like, there's no need to do that. Like, it was just two friends getting upset because we knew it was possibly over for one of us. And, you know, I had like his fate in my hands, you know, as well as Baden did. I mean, Baden said no to him, but I don't know. It was a weird thing where I got all the flack and Baden got none. But anyway, that's another story.
Yeah.
But, you know, I truthfully thought about repercussions outside the game as well as inside the game, which was the first time I'd ever done that in the whole game. But I got to tribal and I thought, you know, it could be cool. And then I was legitimately really upset in tribal. I think they cut a lot of it out. Like, I was sort of looking at the jury going, what do I do? And the jury were looking at me like, get rid of him. You know what I mean? I just thought, if I keep Luke now, I'm not going to get one vote on that jury because they were all looking at me like, we've been trying to get him out for so long. You can't be serious. And so it was really in tribal that I made my decision to send him home, whereas before I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I think there was so much commentary around this move, way too much commentary from the general online fan base. But I think there was a lot of, well, now the jury won't respect you. And I was like, the jury? David and Janine and Sean, if she lets Luke go, like it's a compassionate move, but it's also a stupid move. I think the jury would disrespect that, you know?
I wouldn't have won. Like, even if, like, I mean, Luke probably would have
won. Luke loses fire, it's the exact same situation. I honestly think it would have been a really bad thing for your game.
Yeah, like, even if he went to final three, I mean, Harry and I probably would have won, you know, over Luke anyway, because that's not his strength. And so, like, if I had gone to the end and I had done that Luke saving move, I knew from the faces of the jury, I'm like, that is a game losing move. So it was tough for me and the repercussions were really tough. I think tougher because, you know, I did feel like being the female, I copped all the flack, whereas the boys got nothing. So that was tough, possibly eye-opening and maybe, you know, be a good thing in the end. But, yeah, tough on the day, really tough on the day. Like, I remember after tribal, like, I cried the whole way from tribal whole way to camp, and I just cried myself to sleep because I felt really crappy about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real game with these like, real consequences, but it is a game move. You know, you did what you had to do, and I see the strategic merit of, as you said, you say Baden is immune and it's voting out Harry over Luke. Mm. I see that because then you're forcing Baden's hand to take you. It's not even a conversation. He does end up taking you at three anyway.
Yeah.
But to take out, you know, Baden now, how do you think it would have gone, you and Harry at the final three? How do you think the jury is seeing that matchup?
I don't know. I mean, I've been working on my arguments against Harry as well as my argument against Baden. So I think it would have been like, you know, I don't know. I like to think it would be tight because I feel like some people didn't really think Harry played very hard and some people did. Some people sort of felt like I didn't play hard. Some people did, you know, it's all that kind of thing of like, I think we could have had a really good battle, Harry and I, at the end. But I was sitting in the shelter working out arguments against Harry as to why I should win for, you know, quite a while. So I had a bit of ammunition.
Yeah. So you go to final three, you've had this emotional night. We miss a whole day. I think we missed day 48. So you have some time to recover. We didn't see it on the show.
Yeah.
And then you get to this challenge and your family comes out. So, you know, you've said before how the phone call kind of like pushed you for the, you know, second half of the game. How did that, was the reaction to actually seeing your family there?
Oh, it was amazing. Like, you know, even with the vote the night before, I was like, you've given up so much. Win this. Like, win this kept coming in my head. Like, win this. And then when they came out that day, I was like, oh my God, like I got, you just rallied me again, you know, my beautiful little kids that I hadn't seen for so long. And my husband, it absolutely gives you air and it gives you all this strength. Like you're so tired, you're so hungry. And then, you know, you go do this massive challenge and there's no way, I don't think, any, I mean, I can't speak for the other guys, but I don't think any of us would have lasted as long as we did with our family there. It just really gives you like, it's like having a bowl of spaghetti, but like soul spaghetti, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was weird because, you know, I didn't want to cry in front of my kids because I wanted them to feel like it was a happy moment. So it was stressful because I'm trying not to cry, but I've been dreaming about seeing them and smelling them for so long. I was completely overwhelmed. It was so amazing. It was one of the most amazing experiences of my life.
Yeah, and you have to do this massive, scary challenge as well. You lasted a very, very long time as well, which was great.
yeah, it was really tough. Like, I think I was crying for like 2 hours in the challenge. And, you know, there's a camera like under your chin and you're thinking, oh, no, Pia, like this is going to be so ugly. So it was really bad. It was pretty bad. But, you know, I just knew that I had to beat Harry in that challenge. So I just really was going to you know, Baden had pretty much told me he was taking me. Right. Harry and I were super tight and Harry was like, Harry and I told each other we're not taking each other. And so I just really, when he said, Jonathan, can you get me down? It was one
You're of like,
the,
I'm out.
It was one of the best things I've ever heard. And I was like, oh my gosh. So yeah, it was great.
Yeah, because, you know, it's the crazy thing when they montage those challenges, you were talking to your husband about how you like wanted to get down. Then it like flashes for a second and you're like, still in it. I'm like, this is now like an hour and a half later, like after that conversation, you know, that's really impressive.
Yeah, because I think you go through these moments where you're in such agonizing pain and then you're not breathing and then all of a sudden you think, okay, just rally, and then you sort of pull yourself together and then the pain comes back. So it's just ups and downs the whole time. I mean, hour two I was hurting. I was like, I'm not going to last 3 hours. So I just kept giving myself like another half hour, just last another half hour.
Yeah, and I think you spoke super well against Harry at that tribal council, you know, talking about really truthful things about how the game was really similar, you know, but you thought Harry's was better. And you take the initiative to say, like, Harry played a better game than me and everything. You kind of put yourself down knowing you're going to have to talk to the jury the next day.
Yeah.
So was that a decision for you to do that, or did you know that you kind of had to make your claim and then go talk to the jury tomorrow as a new day?
Yeah, I mean, I knew, like, I had confidence in my ability to sort of talk myself out of stuff. So I thought, do whatever you can to get him to take your final two and then deal with the repercussions the next day. So I thought, I always had that thing, like, just own it in the final tribal. So if someone says that, you just say, well, I just said that to trick Baden, you know. So yeah. I was okay with saying that stuff. But, yeah, it was more, you know, I definitely wanted to get that idea across to Baden that this would be a really good move, like, you know, take out the guy that everyone wants to take out, and also that he and Harry played side by side and Harry's game was stronger.
Mm. So you are successful in that. You get to day 50 and final tribal council. How confident were you going into tribal council?
I've just seen that so many times when someone's confident or you think someone's a front runner and then it just falls apart. So I tried not to be confident. I just sort of had like a little breakfast. Poor Baden ate too much that day. So he was if you really watch Tribal Council, you can see him burping through the whole thing because we got that massive feast and then he just couldn't stop eating. I went, Babe, you got to stop. But he was walking around the pot of honey at one point. But I really sat on the beach all day and just worked on my speech. I've been working on it anyway. So I just thought, don't be confident because you just need to absolutely like put in your debating hat and just go in there and fight for it.
Yeah. What was your favorite part of your pitch to the jury?
I definitely liked my comeback to Dave.
Yeah, that was a big one.
I thought that was pretty good. You know, I really liked that, you know, I mentioned the difference between American Survivor and Australian Survivor.
I love that.
Yeah. You know, it got really feisty when Simon brought up, which they didn't show, but Simon brought up the boys stealing the Simon brought up the boys stealing the rice.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got pretty feisty in that moment, just going, you stole rice in the tribe. You
know? Yeah.
Really trying to, I would never steal rice in my tribe because it was pretty bad when I was stealing rice. Like we were going without food for like 2 days and stuff. So, you know, I tried to bring that up and I think some of the sweetest stuff, I mean, they really cut out a lot of Janine's like, you know, gushing towards me, which is really sweet. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I got told that your opening speech was 4 minutes. So I did a pretty quick opening speech because I know that my strength is like Q&A, like rebuttal. So I just thought, get through the opening speech. You'll be nervous. You'll be a mess. But then, you know, you'll be okay. But Baden's went for seriously 20 minutes. Like his opening speech was incredible. And then I was looking at Jonathan like, is he going to stop? And, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, where are the debate rules?
Yeah, so I got nervous and everyone said, like, after those two opening speeches, Baden had it. Like, he had given a way better opening speech than me. So I think, you know, I was a little bit sassy in that final tribal, but I think that's because I was looking at the jury and Abby was even saying to me, you need to fight because, you know, everyone on that jury could have been there and probably, you know, deserves to be there because they're all really good players. And so if they, I sort of got that sense in that tribal that if they see you not fighting to the death for it, it's sort of not offensive to them, but, you know, like they all want to be there too. So really make sure that you just go for it. So I sort of got that vibe. I started pretty soft and then once I kicked into gear, I really went for it and then I could see them start smiling and I thought, I think I've got it.
Yeah, I mean, the David question is a weird one to me because it's like of all the people to call you a goat, it's like you blindsiding him was like your one of your biggest moves, I would say. You know David better than me. Was he trying to fire you up and give you the opportunity to fight for yourself or was he like actually calling you a goat?
I don't know. Like, I mean, we're really tight too and we didn't – I think he just sort of – he wanted really to who was ever there to fight for their position. And he does have a thing about people not playing big moves. Like, he really did, you know, want people to own a big move. And I think for him, he was all about big moves. So just – I think he kind of forgot that I blindsided him.
Yeah,
moment,
you're like, what about your vote?
Yeah, so I think he was like, yeah, I'm going to call them goats, you know, and that'll, like, stuff them up. And then he forgot that, like, we'd blindsided him. So,
yeah,
I think it was a mix of both. I think he wanted whoever was on the in the final two to really, really fight for it and not take it for granted. But luckily for me, I sort of just, you know, had blindsided him. So it was kind of fun. I was cute. I thought, like, when he's like, actually, yeah, she did make me feel really good. And that was why I went home with my idol in my hand. I was like, oh, thanks, Dave.
Yeah. And then he was like on your side and he was championing you. So you win 9-0, the first unanimous winner in Australian Survivor, the first female unanimous winner ever. In all Survivor?
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
That's so – I didn't know that.
Yeah. Very,
That's
very
so
cool.
That's so cool.
Very, very cool to finally have that.
Oh,
there's a few men
sweet.
Who made it work, but no woman has had that before, which I think speaks to how maybe women are perceived by a jury and stuff. And you know, you got it done, which is amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah. Which votes were you surprised to get of those 9?
I did not think I was going to get Sean's vote. Mm. So it was sort of always talked about how Sean always wanted to vote for Baden. So I was surprised to get his vote. And really the reason why I got his vote was because I told him that story about me leaving the beach and then coming back and, you know, when we told him about the fake idol.
Yeah.
I told him a story about me pretending to go to the toilet and then coming back. And then I said, so
bathroom
when...
Bathroom break strategy. That's
yeah.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah. And so when I said to him in the jury, when he was on jury, I said, when you told Dave that we turned on you, did you mention me or did you just say Abby and Janine? And he said, I just said Abby and Janine. And I said, well, there you go. That's my strategy. So he said that changed his vote from Baden to me. And then I think Daisy was always in the air. I wasn't 100% sure I was going to get Daisy and Jono, but I definitely tried to remind them how much I tried to work with them.
Mm.
And then, you know, I sort of wasn't sure if Abby was going to vote for me because things weren't, you know, when you're out there and you're turning on each other, it gets really icky. And so I thought maybe she just might be feeling really icky and she might not vote for me.
Yeah. When did you know that there wasn't going to be a reunion and that you were finding out like right then and there?
Oh my God. So they leave and then you're like, okay, it's all cool. We've got 3 months to cope with this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the producer came out and said, we've got something to tell you. We're, you know, heading off to shoot another season. We can't do a reunion episode. We're going to read the votes tonight. And they kind of read us the riot act about keeping it quiet. And then, yeah, that's when I found out. And my heart started going a million miles an hour. And I grabbed Baden's hand and Baden looked at me like he was just going to pass out.
Oh.
And it was so full. I'm like, oh, my God, Baden, oh, my God. We're just looking at each other and go, oh, my God, oh, my God. And then, yeah, and then our family came out and, yeah, it was just that night.
Yeah. Well, you preferred the wait and the reunion because you're one of very few people to win like this. It's a very strange way to win. It's like a big celebration, but there's like 20 people in the room. But you don't have to wait. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it was good at the time, but it was pretty overwhelming. So, yeah, I think it was, I don't know. Look, to be honest, like a reunion would have been really fun. Yeah. You know, we all get a bit fat and we come back all dressed up and it's all pretty, you know, I was sad I missed out on that sort of Survivor tradition. But at the time, probably I was a bit relieved that I didn't have to wait 3 months.
Yeah, so you come back as an actual full-blown winner. Your family were there, you know, to see it, which I think was amazing. Your husband said such nice things as well. I think, like, all of my mom and my aunts were like, Pia's husband is so sweet.
He's pretty good. Like, he did not want to be on TV. So the fact that he was even on TV,
he was so like, well.
I know, he doesn't think so. I was like, oh, I can't believe, you know, I was on TV. He just hated it. But he was so great. And that's pretty much what he's like. Like, he's a, you know, I'm pretty lucky to have him. So,
anyone who would build you a fire challenge before going out,
right? I know. And just also go play Survivor, babe, I'll look after the kids. Like, I really, you know, I've really got the lucky end of the stick with that, marrying him. So yeah, he's amazing.
Well, he married the first female unanimous winner in the history of the game. So.
He did. Oh, he was stoked. He's probably Googled that, though. He loves Googling, like, statistics. So he's probably like, yeah, I knew that.
So you come back as a winner and you're watching it back, and the fan reaction has been, I think, really good. And, you know, the super fan community, I think, really embraced you. I definitely, when I put out questions for this podcast, got a lot of, just tell her I love her. I'm like, well, I can't get to all of you. but there's been so much of that. And then some people are the worst. So. Yeah. What is that whole experience like for you?
I mean, you know, I can separate the super fans. Like, the super fans through all of it, just so supportive and lovely. And, you know, even I think Janine and I was such an incredible, like, working couple. But, you know, even stuff like, I think some of the people who were, you know, not super fans and kind of early fans, like, she's just hiding behind Janine. But, you know, that clearly was evident that it wasn't that case. Like, even Abby was saying stuff, you know, on the beach about how I was sort of pulling the strings and how Janine and I were working as a team. So I think just, yeah, I think having, I didn't really know there was going to be a separation between super fans and sort of new fans. So it was really the super fan community that I cared most about, and the fact that they were so supportive of me, especially with all the ups and downs, was pretty amazing. And then the rest of it was, you know, like, on and off pretty crappy, but I guess that's, you know, I read a lot of sort of Survivor people saying that's the same thing for a lot of us. So you just have to roll with it. You know, I think I was sort of, you know, I think I was really happy by how supportive people were of Janine and my relationship, especially because Janine was such an amazing player. Like, she was so much fun to play with, and she was so good at working out numbers and everything. So I think just having people sort of love that relationship was really nice for me. But yeah, like, putting up with stuff, I mean, honestly, when I voted Luke out, holy cow, like, what's that about? Horrific. And but super fans, nothing. Super fans were all like, great move, you know, congratulations, I know it was hard, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think for me, watching all of that happen, and I see it, you know, you got it so bad with the Luke vote, and so many contestants get so much personal hate, which is crazy. And I think we spoke about it a lot on the Recap podcast, but like, if you're, you know, if you love Luke, we all love Luke, you know, if you're upset about that, go send love to Luke. Don't send hate to you. And I think that's something that, that's what I most, like, want to impart. And it's not really our listeners. That's the thing. It's not that much on this community. It's like, for anyone who's watching the show, if you are super invested in a character, which everyone happens to be, and you don't like what someone else has done with that, strategically especially, go give them love. Like, be positive. Don't, especially because Luke's being like, guys, don't do this to Pia, and people still take it upon themselves to do that. Just don't put that negativity out there. Like, it's crazy that people do this.
I know, and I think that is why the superfan community is so special to you in those times, because they will sit on your Instagram and they'll defend you, and they'll go on your Twitter and give you love and talk about strategy. And having, just because I'm a superfan, so I feel like I'm part of that family, you know, just having those people around was so really what got me through, because, you know, it, when you're getting all this other stuff, just knowing that you've got people that back you and understand the game. Mm-hmm. I think that whole thing of, like, you know, just to morally shame a woman and then to not hold the men up to the same standards for playing Survivor was sort of, it was a real eye-opener for me.
And you said Exit as well that a lot of that was coming from women and mothers as well.
Yeah.
You choose to do that, which is just why.
Yeah, and, you know, I think some people are caught saying, you know, you're a terrible mother, and I'm like, I'm not a terrible mother, because I would actually teach my children not to say mean things about people on the internet. So, you know, I'm not, but yeah, I will say thank you to the superfan community, because that's, you know, all of that support was definitely, like, it really didn't go unnoticed. Like, it was really fantastic.
I'm really glad to hear that. Some of those people do have some questions for you as well about your game. Sean Lachlan asks, Pia seems like a massive fan of US Survivor. Who are her favorite contestants or seasons?
Oh, I mean, I do love Blood versus Water. I love Hero versus Villains. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a big Sandra fan. Yes. I loved Natalie's story, you know, when she kind of just flipped late and then turned into this amazing player when she pretty much, you know, wasn't in for the first half of the season.
She was all about timing too, I think. So that's
timing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, she had some really cool moves. I definitely enjoyed Cochran's second round.
Mm.
His second round, Parvati makes me laugh, you know.
Mm.
Yeah. There's a lot of, definitely, I think probably Sandra's one of my favorite players. I definitely took, her strategy of only talk strategy when you have to. Don't run around camp just constantly talking about it because you're going to get a target on your back. So I really sat back, thought about what I was going to say, kept my mouth shut, and then only spoke when I needed to, which when I was really sure that I was going to make a move. So yeah, she was good for me. But yeah, there's a lot of, you know, and I do love, weirdly, I mean, going way back, I kind of love Australia. I was saying to my husband, he has never watched Australia. I kind of loved that for some weird reason. I want to go back and watch it and wonder why. But,
it's a classic.
Yeah, it's
a moment in time.
It was weird. It wasn't near the beach. It was kind of odd. But, yeah, I'd love to go back and watch some of my old favourites again for sure.
Yeah, well, you made that brilliant point about the difference between Australian and US Survivor in your final tribal speech. So Ben Ellerby asks, how would you have adapted your game for US Survivor?
Oh, I think final three and fire making are two really big differences. So final three mean that, you know, you can play a bigger game and you really want to play that kind of game where you get rid of some of the bigger players, but you also get rid of some of the smaller players. So I definitely would have made bolder moves at the forefront, but I always would have petered out for the lot. But final six, like, don't make big moves at final six. That's my thing. I think then if you can get to final six, just stop and just try and survive, because people are going to start taking even final eight, just, you know, just start, maybe do one big move and then make sure that before that you've got a really good resume.
Yeah. Edward Morris asks, who from the contenders do you wish you would have worked with or met, you know, maybe before that you even got to meet them on the show?
Oh, look, I think probably contenders wise, I enjoyed working with Harry and Jono, were probably my two favourites. So, yeah, it would have been nice to have a bit more time to work with Jono for sure, but it just came up that it was the right move to take him out.
Yeah, and last question, Addison Mueller asks, as an actress, were you worried that people wouldn't trust you going into the season because they would perceive you as being a good liar?
Yeah, totally. So I used to tell people that I was a terrible liar. I don't think they believe that, though.
You're like, wait, but if I believe that, maybe you, like, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. I don't know if it helped being an actor out there, though, because, you know, I usually have a script, so I'm not really used to thinking on my feet. But, you know, actors sometimes have this sort of superficial charm, which I guess psychopaths do as well. So that helped. You know, I've met enough actors to know there's a fine line between being an actor and being a sociopath.
Fine line, for sure.
Like, they're all very charming, but you can't trust an actor. So.
Yeah, I mean, we did see you talk about your acting, obviously, a lot in the confessional. Like, what do you think it helped you with the most? Because I would think surely something like Final Tribal Council, being articulate, you know, as you said, you know, making people believe things and, you know, the fake laughing and everything you saw of that. Like, was there something in particular that you really think the acting helped with?
Firstly, like, Janine and I were so mortified because, you know, you go into those confessionals and they go, okay, just say, as an actor, and then say blah, blah.
Yeah.
And so we did it because, you know, you think maybe you're going to get a biscuit or something, and then we're watching it back. I know, we're watching it back going, oh, my God, like, Janine and I are like, oh, my God. Janine's like, if I hear myself say in business one more time, and then I was like, oh, my God, as an actor, why did I say that? So, yeah, look, I think reading a room was really, really helpful. So when you're doing theatre, you know, you have an audience and you can read when the audience is with you and against you. And I think that absolutely helped me in Final Tribal. And then I just have a debating background. So I actually think that helped me more than, which I didn't tell anyone. Like, just before we went out there for Final Tribal, I grabbed Baden's hand. I'm like, I'm so sorry. And he's like, what? And I went, I really love you, but, like, I'm going to absolutely destroy you out there. Like, I'm just going to do my best to obliterate you. And I went, I'm really sorry in advance. And he's like, okay. He's looked at me that terrified. And then afterwards I was like, I'm really sorry. I just had to do whatever I had to do.
You can really see that debating background as well.
Yeah. I think just definitely in sort of learning how to, you know, have a good rebuttal and really just think about, just, you know, it just helps you in your arguments. It was really helpful.
Shane, Paul Beaton had already eaten too much at that point.
Oh, poor thing. I think he had to call medical. Like, I'm not joking. It was that bad. And I did say, like, babe, you've got to stop eating. But we were so hungry. He was so excited. So he definitely, like, if you watch it again, you'll see him burping quite a lot. Paul Beaton.
Poor guy. Okay. Well, on that note, we have reached the end of the podcast. What is the hashtag for people who got that far? I really like something you said. Hashtag soul spaghetti. That's just like a good way to...
Oh, soul spaghetti. Definitely hashtag soul spaghetti.
Pia, where can people find you on social media to be super nice to you and never mean?
Thank you. Well, you know what? All of you super fans, just come and load me up because I've loved every minute of it. And I do try and get back to people as much as I can, especially when it's gameplay. It's always _ Pia Miranda on Twitter and on Instagram. And I'll be tweeting a little bit throughout the season of Island of the Idols because I'm enjoying it so much.
Amazing. Well, we're definitely going to get you, you know, on a podcast recap at some point to talk about whatever season we can. You guys can follow me at Shannon Gates as well because we still have so much to come. Pia, thank you for helping me get in touch with Janine because we have Janine confirmed for the deep dive next week.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. I mean, honestly, she's one of the greatest people. And you know, someone asked me the other day, I went to Boost Juice and they said, oh, didn't you get a free Boost Juice card? Like the woman who works there. And I was like, no, because I wouldn't have won without Janine. So I
owe her
as
much
money. Yeah, I'm going to pay for my booze because I definitely feel like she was a huge reason why I got to the end.
Yeah, well, Janine's coming on. Baden is coming on. Obviously, the Luke podcast has been out for like almost a week at this point. I hope everyone has checked that out. And then we have the interviews with the Survivor South Africa cast members. Jacques and Nicole are out. Mike is on the way. Sipe, Rob, and Jeff to come. And then we have an interview with the series director of Survivor South Africa. This is the first time I'm announcing it. LaRue Botha is going to come onto the podcast. So that is something I think, even if you don't watch Survivor South Africa, that's just going to be an amazing lens. It's someone who literally creates a Survivor series, and he's going to come onto the podcast to chat with me and Mike Bloom. So subscribe to the International Survivor Hap-Ups feed so you never miss an episode. But Pia, thank you so much for coming on and explaining even more behind your game. You know, it was so great to watch. As I said, you know, to watch a woman go out there, be the first unanimous winner, have such a considered, intelligent gameplay. Like, as a female super fan, I love it. And just in general, I love to see it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you as well. Thank you so much. Thanks to the listeners as well for checking this out. Thanks to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. And we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.